I'm Dime Roberts, stage and studio. You're listening to music from Juniana Lanning from the show Ordinary Devotions. We're going to talk about that soon because we are featuring dancer, choreographer, and artistic and executive director of Performance Works Northwest, Linda Austin. She has a new solo work called Ordinary Devotions, which opens March 14th through the 23rd. And I want to welcome Linda Austin to stage and studio today. Thanks for coming to my studio.
It's a great pleasure to be here and talk to you again.
Well, we're kind of in the neighborhood, It's not too far from Performance Works Northwest. You co-founded Performance Works Northwest 18 years ago, and it's been an artist-led incubator of new, experimental, and contemporary performance in Portland. 18 years, huh?
Yeah, going on 20. I mean, in a way, it depends on when you count it, because we founded the nonprofit in 2019, but got the space in 2020. In 2000, so we're coming up on 2020, which will be our 20th year.
You're like me. Which decade am I in?
I know.
Once you pass a certain amount of decades, you go, oh, yeah, that's right. It's not 1999 anymore, whatever. Yeah. So, but space, space is definitely at a premium, especially now, but even back then. And, space along with funding is always a major challenge for artists in this town. And you provide a great home, not just for your own work, but for other artists.
Yeah, that's right. When I got the space, it was basically going to be my own home studio. And once I had space, I felt like I really needed to offer that resource to the community. And so we started to develop programming.
Well, now, so that would have been how long ago? So, it was 2000. So at that time, actually, real estate wasn't too bad. So that was actually a good time that you bought that space, right? Yeah. And tell people, describe it and tell people where it's at.
We're on Southeast 67th, just off Foster Road. And some people call it a Quonset hut, but it's actually an ex-church. Like, it's sort of a plain frame wooden building, but the inside has a curved ceiling, which gives the feeling of like airplane hangar or Quonset hut or something. And it's pretty small. We seat about 40 to 50 people, but it's great. And people rehearse there, produce shows there. And we also have artists in residence there and co-produce other artists.
What was it before you bought it?
A church. It was built for a plain Protestant, no frills church. But when we looked at it, it was inhabited by Romanian Orthodox congregation. So you can imagine a lot of decoration and pews and a faux marble steps. And anyway, now it's our home.
I think churches make great performance spaces, even current churches, because of acoustics, but also just that airy feeling. And also for a lot of artists, isn't it sort of a sacred experience, right?
Yeah. And the feeling of like that people have been gathering there in the past and they still are coming together as a community.
Well, so yeah. And now, to get off a little topic here, but Foster Road is really vamping up with gentrification, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's one of those mixed blessings. Like before, when we first got there, it was you couldn't find a cup of coffee. And now, it's like we're going to have a new cocktail bar across the street. I mean, it used to be O'Malley's, just neighborhood bar. And now it's going to be a little fancier. And a new brew pub down the street and much more food options. And we're close to the Mercado, which is actually wonderful. And they're redoing the street, making it more pedestrian friendly, which is great. But it's one of those things where, like, even though we were pushing for that safety and that slower traffic, now that it's like making it more amenable to business. I don't know. It's like so some of the small businesses might be facing problems in the future with rising rents and all that stuff,
Yeah, and you wonder about parking and things like that because they are eliminating some of that space. Yeah. But it's always this kind of mixed feeling. Like it's great that there's places like people who want to come see Performance Works Northwest now have a choice of having, dinner before the show. But now you're just kind of like sounding apprehensive, which is understandable about what the future will bring.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, because we bought our building back when real estate was cheap. And the reason I got that money was from an apartment in the East Village that I bought for $2,000 and gentrification and selling it and coming back here. So it's kind of ironic, I guess. And maybe that's another reason why I feel that I owe the space to the community, is that I just sort of lucked out with my $2,000 real estate purchase back in the day in the East Village.
That's so amazing. So how many artists, I mean, have you ever done like a count of how many people have used the venue or that you've worked with in the venue, or how many shows? Would you even be able to come up with a number?
I have at various points in our history had numbers, but I think I've lost track now. But hundreds, if not 1,000, I don't know. I mean, definitely people who have rented space for rehearsal, I would say, you know, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds. And then, you know, every year there's at least probably 30 or 40 nights of performance and at least 10 productions that happen in the space. And, you know, we're still a really small budget organization, and I only started being able to take any kind of a salary at all, and I'd still call it a stipend a few years ago.
But it's like, it's so great to have it, but it's also like, you also offer like residencies and mm-hmm. things like that too. Yeah. So you have made it very artist friendly.
Well, I am an artist. So I feel that need, and I feel the need to spread around the resource. Yeah.
Have you ever felt the need as the executive director and artistic director to expand, or to, you know, there's this push for, you know, a lot of funders for organizations to like grow, you know, and what that means organizationally. Yeah. Have you ever experienced that, like pressure or thoughts about that?
Well, physically, I would like to, if not expand, at least take care of what we have, because the building needs work. So there's that. And I would like to expand in the sense that I need help. You know, like have one or two other people involved in the organizational part. And I would like to be able to offer more money to artists. So in a way, what I would like is more sort of infrastructure to do what we already do and not grow programming, you know, so that what we already do is better compensated.
That makes perfect sense to me, definitely. Do you think that's the major challenge for you in running Performance Works Northwest?
What, the compensation?
Compensation and the whole building of infrastructure. Yeah. I mean, basically, if you have to do everything yourself, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, that is the major challenge. And especially as I am now officially Medicare age, I'm... which is great to get Medicare and to pay $125 on the bus. But I'm thinking of, you know, how to maybe transition, and then how to replace what I do, and, you know.
Yeah, I hear that. I definitely hear that. And I will be talking a little bit, since you brought up, you know, the whole age thing, because your show is like very central to that theme. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts with my guest, Linda Austin of Performance Works Northwest. She has a new solo work called Ordinary Devotions, and it's opening soon. You can find out more at pwnw-pdx.org or at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio, where you can also find a podcast of this interview. Ordinary Devotions. Let's talk about that. I was struck by your description about how it will honor the particularities of your 65-year-old body. It got me thinking about women and aging, and how there are such double standards about women admitting their age in especially like in, you know, in theater and film work and as an actor, you know. Is that also true in the dance world?
There's definitely stuff around aging in the dance world. I mean, certain genres like ballet, you can't keep going. Other in, you know, modern dance is more forgiving. I mean, or more open and flexible that way. And of course, butoh dancers dance well into their, till they die. I mean, Kazuo Ono did, I think. And I feel, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I'm not sure I can even really talk about it.
Does your age limit you? Mm-hmm. For instance, in theater or acting work, it does limit you if you admit your age, or tell people or be very forthright about it. Even though you may not have changed physically, the way people think of you has changed and what they think that you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be more true of someone who's focused more on a performer in other people's work. When you make your own work, you just make it for who you are and what you want to do. And so for me, you know, I could have written that 20 years ago and it would have been the same almost, because we're all aging all of the time. And my body is my particular body. And so I'm just like doing what I do and not trying to dramatize age, you know, just dealing with what I am right now. As opposed to, I feel like, well, there was a, did you see the ballet thing that Greg Bielmeyer was in and Susan Banyas? So it was supposed to be juxtaposing these two aging dancers with the young ballet companies. And I almost made, I almost thought it made them look older than they really are. I just wanted to see them be themselves and not any kind of exaggerated depiction of aging. So it was slightly disappointing to me.
Well, that's hard, you know. I think people respond to the whole act of aging in such a different way. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that, you know, you could have had the same theme 20 years earlier. And I imagine that, you know, dance has to be so, I mean, everything has to be adaptive as you age. But how has your dancing adapted as you've aged? Or has it grown? Or mm-hmm. what are you doing differently or not doing differently?
It's something I ask myself, because sometimes I feel just the same and I have a lot of the same physical impulses and things that I like to do. I do feel aesthetically like I'm always changed by what I see and who I work with. And luckily or unlucky, I was never a super accomplished technical dancer. So like I can't bemoan the loss of like high jumps or multiple turns, because I never had those. My strength was more in just quirky movement or just how I deal with the environment. And I feel like that's the same.
Would you call it a little bit more like performance art dance?
You can say that. I mean, I feel like I could call some of my work might be more akin to performance. And I feel like some of the piece I'm making now, it could almost be an installation. I feel like, because I was saying to somebody, gosh, if I hadn't been a dancer, if I had another life, maybe I'd be an installation artist or a sculptor working with objects, because I like to work with objects so much. And they just said, you already are, you know, but it's just incorporated into a time-based framework.
Well, I kind of felt that way about seeing some of your other work, that it does seem like an art installation. So in Ordinary Devotions, you work with a lot of objects, as you've mentioned. And so how do you work with these objects, and what are these objects?
Well, I think the very first thing were the multiple spools of thread, which came about because for some reason I had this image of myself levitating slightly off the floor, like 1 inch. And I go, what do I have around the house? And so I just started experimenting with that. And gradually other things started coming in. I don't know where this twig came from that I use. There's something very personal that I don't want to give away that's there, because it's a spoiler that's personal and possibly surprising. So, and then what else? The tarp that I use, which transform most of the objects either are interacted with me physically, because there's a way in which I like to relate to the world, which is through touch. And so the objects, I touch them or lay on them or use them. But some of them also transform, like the tarp sometimes is like piled up and sometimes it becomes a screen for a projection.
Well, I'm getting all kinds of images from having you describe that. And you're using aural landscape. We had mentioned some music by Juniana Lanning, and she's doing aural landscapes too. And we can hear an example of that right now as we talk. Would you describe, like, especially during the piece where there's a lot of voices and stuff, how are you working with the sort of soundscape?
Well, sometimes the soundscape is highlighting what I'm doing in a subtle way, because some of it's pretty delicate. Like when I have a moment with this twig, you hear a little crackly noise. That sort of, and another time when I'm there's a moment where it's kind of dark and I'm just kind of cleaning the stage. And that's where the voices come in. It's almost like then the aural landscape is the thing that kind of fills the space at that moment while I'm doing something else. So it has its own narrative arc. And then also there's just the arc of the space, which was a mess, becoming a little bit cleaner to move on to another section.
Sounds like you explore a lot and you're exploring space, but also are you exploring, you know, your own body at the same time?
Yes, there are definitely moments in the piece that just highlight the materiality and the presence of this particular body that I have, either by like a stone tapping, like tapping a path along the frame of my body, and later a flashlight repeating that same action, sort of making sounds like that by hitting my body with the objects.
Wow. So it really does sound like your process is very exploratory. Mm-hmm. And so when you start deciding, I mean, do you decide on a project? Do you decide on a theme first? Or how do you start exploring this work when you're creating it? I'm just fascinated by, you know, where does it begin?
Sometimes I have an idea that comes from I might have the title first, which is a concept. This time I feel I started just playing with these objects, maybe because I had to come up with a quick performance for something. And then I realized I wanted to make a piece that, the title, even though the title changed, it used to have a different title, but Ordinary Devotions was the idea of being devoted to these everyday material, you know, existence as represented through these objects, and kind of a matter of, even though it's weird in that I use the objects in unusual ways, I feel like there's a matter of factness, like, well, of course you, I mean, that's in my mind anyway, of course you lay on spools of thread or, I don't know, investigate the properties of the tarp, the sounds as well as the shapes it makes, and sort of like this attentiveness to things around you. So there's this emphasis on materiality, but there's also an emphasis in this piece, I think, on sort of ephemerality, like it's all passing and our lives are passing. Yeah.
Sounds like you have a lot of fun when you're exploring, because you're usually by yourself in your studio, right?
Well, when I'm working on a solo, I am. I tend to alternate projects, like working by myself, and then it's like, oh, I'm too lonely. And then I have a project with 5 to 10 to 20 people. And then I go, that's too complicated. Getting people together for rehearsal, logistics, I just want to be by myself, you know, back and forth like that.
Well, it's called balance.
Yeah. And actually now I'm also working on a new collaboration with just one other person, which is a new thing for me to have a collaborative relationship with another dancer. I'm working with the dancer Ellie Hankins, and we're in the middle of making a new piece. So that's cool.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like you need that variety. I think most artists do need some kind of variety. I'm Dime Roberts, stage and studio, talking with Linda Austin of Performance Works Northwest, and we're talking about her new world premiere of her solo work. It's called Ordinary Devotions, and the shows are Thursday through Saturday on March 14th through the 16th at 8 p.m., and Sunday, March 17th at 5 p.m., and Wednesday through Saturday at March 20th through the 23rd at 8 p.m., and all shows are at Performance Works Northwest. That's located at 4625 Southeast 67th Avenue, roughly 67th and Foster in Portland. And now we're going to talk about this, but there are only 28 tickets available for each performance. So I would suggest that you get your reservations right away. And you can get that info at pwnw-pdx.org or stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio, where I have all this info. Why only 28 seats? It's already intimate with only 40 or 50 seats, but it's a very intimate space, and now it's 28. So what happens?
Well, I decided to take away, we often have 3 rows plus people sitting on the floor. So no people on the floor, and the first row went away. A mixture of wanting more space for especially with all the objects and stuff, and there needed to be a certain amount of space around things, and me wanting to move downstage more. And also the feeling of not wanting to have too much in the way of anybody's witnessing, like a lot of rows of other people, so that, you know, you're either in the front row or you're just right behind the front row a little bit up, so that you can really, like, it's really directly in front of you, or you're really right there in the room with it, rather than feeling like you're in the middle of an audience.
So it's a little bit immersive, but it's not necessarily interactive.
No. But you are in the room with me and the rocks and the...
All your fun objects. Now, you also have video in this. Describe that.
Yeah, it's a couple of video interventions, I guess you'd say, or moments. One of them, I don't want to give it away. And the other one is, just kidding. One of them is like landscape-y, and like it kind of echoes a movement that I'm doing, because there's the movement of like being in a car, and then it kind of echoes something that's going on stage. We're but kind of in a tandem. Another one is a kind of ghost visitation of myself.
And who does these videos?
Kelly Rauer, who actually has, she's good to work with for me, because she also works in movement and in video herself, as well as now she's doing music. So she does a lot.
Do you want to give a shout out to all the folks that you're working with on Ordinary Devotions?
Yeah, well, there's Juniana, who's been wonderful to work with. Some of the sounds that are in her landscape come from like my interaction with the objects that she recorded and then took and manipulated electronically. Kelly Rauer video and lighting design by my co-founder and husband, Jeff Forbes. And I actually am working on the light design with him. I told him yesterday I was going to take a co-credit for the lighting design, because I've just been playing with the lights a lot myself. Luckily, I mean, that's an advantage that I have, is that I'm rehearsing in the space where I'm performing and the light stuff is there, so I can actually experiment.
How does he feel about that? He's also a very, you know, award-winning artist too.
No, he said, oh, that's fine. He said, you can do that.
That's nice. That's good to have, a mellow relationship like that. I was wondering also, the description discusses how you're finding, you know, sort of, I guess, joy within, you know, your 65-year-old body as far as, you know, movement. Do you also want the audience to experience that for themselves?
Well, I guess I want them, or I'm hoping to offer because there's a lot of tactility in the piece, that to give a more of that vicarious feeling of realness to one's body, you know, the materiality of it. And I mean, there's always that hope in dancers, I think, that the audience will have, you know, some kind of mirror neuron response of like, but I mean, dancers have that a lot. Like when we watch other people dance, we might like, you know, like somebody, you know, we might have a physical almost response because of feeling that. I want them to feel their bodies.
At least think about it a little bit. What kind of advice, or do you do? I imagine with some of the residencies, you act like a mentor with a lot of folks, a lot of performers. Do you offer that kind of advice or mentorship to younger dancers or performing artists?
Not in any kind of structured way, but definitely with our residencies. Actually, we're starting to offer in the last couple of years with our residencies, they get to choose a mentor, but they asked if I could be it. And I said, no, I'm not me, but like that we pay for, you know, like to have a little extra dramaturgical help or something like that. I feel it's more like just being friends to so many people that come through, and kind of by seeing what I do, I know has been encouraging to people to try things that they might not have tried.
I think it's good to have that kind of offering, you know, for especially new generations of performers. In the time remaining, do you want to highlight some of the works of other artists that will be at Performance Works Northwest?
Well, next up, we're having a show on March 9th, which is not our organization, but we're partnering with them to offer the space. The Creative Music Guild Extradition Series is having a guest artist who is performing on our space, and I forget the name. Dan Joseph. Yeah, there's a visiting artist named Dan Joseph who is performing with some local musicians on March 9th. And then April 19th and 20th, Stephanie Trotter, who has been a big help to me the past couple of years as board president and also helping with production aspects to some of our performances. She's a trained opera singer who actually has gone into more experimental work. And she and Margaret McNeil are doing a duet. They call their project Golden Organ. And the piece they're doing is, "And There Was a New Voice Which You Slowly Recognized as Your Own."
Sounds very intriguing, and that's at Performance Works Northwest. But before we go, one more reminder that Linda Austin's new work, the world premiere of it is Ordinary Devotions, and it's running March 14th through the 23rd, and you can find out more info at pwnw-pdx.org, and also on stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio. I have all that info there. So, you know, it's been great talking with you and catching up. It's been a couple years since we've really had a conversation like this. So thank you for, you know, coming out to my studio, and thanks for being on Stage and Studio.
Thanks, Dimae. It's been a real pleasure.
Before we go, a shout out for actress Eleanor O'Brien's new show. It's called How to Really, Really, Really Love a Woman, and it's described as a funny and incisive demonstration of vulnerability. Eleanor is known for creating sex-positive shows. Her new show runs March 8th through the 23rd at Curious Comedy. For more info, you can visit her site at dancenakedproductions.com. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org. or kbu.fm/stageandstudio, as well as the podcast on iTunes. You can like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter N studio, or tweet me at stage, the letter N studio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. We're going out with more music from Linda Austin's show, Ordinary Devotions by Juniana Lanning.